Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Kind of cut out in the middle there. All my audio, everything just cut out. A little, just like we had a burp of death. And then we came right back, so we're okay.
Oh, by the way, I guess Lou Wolf is a billionaire.
Is he a billionaire?
Randy looked it up.
It just happened again in my ear. What is going on?
Oh, it's not me.
What's going on?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, you're doing okay?
We had something back here. I think Lucas's mic was unplugged, and he was trying to talk to you, so that's what happened.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? They're unplugging Kyle's microphone during the Steiny and Guru show
apparently,
now?
Apparently, yeah.
Can you blame them?
I'm back.
Yay.
According to CelebrityWorth.net, Robert Sarver only worth $400 million, so he's not a billionaire.
Bum.
Poor.
What do you know about billionaires? Right?
Homeless.
Nothing.
I've got to look that up. I'm pretty sure I've seen Sarver with $1 billion to his name.
Anyway, maybe he's like one of those $10,000 billionaires. Like on paper, he's worth it, but you know, he still drives a Honda Civic.
I guarantee you, he's not driving a Honda Civic.
The Suns general manager, James Jones, said that the reason why they didn't want to offer the max to Ayton is because you can't have more than two players on rookie max deals. And like you said, Devin Booker is on that right now, and it would limit their chance to pursue stars on other teams that have been designated with rookie max deals. Okay. I understand you want to leave options open. This is your guy. This is your guy. When are the Phoenix Suns a huge free agent destination? They aren't. They just aren't. To be worried more about the guy you might try to sign down the road than your own, we drafted him number one overall, it just, okay. All I can tell you is that, you know, this is why no one ever walked around talking about how well-run the Phoenix Suns were. Ever. For a minute or two, they were. But I think that there are places to penny pinch. There are places to penny pinch. Is your young center who's getting better every year and just played very well throughout the playoffs the right place to do it?
Well, you'd have to... I mean, if in fact the rookie max deal is in fact that's a hurdle, that's a CBA problem. But what you've got to do is sell Ayton on the notion that, you know, we'll take care of you down the road and have him believe you. And maybe that's where Sarver becomes the problem, because he's something of a loose cannon. I mean, he filled his general manager's office one time with manure to make a point.
Isn't that a little rough on the janitorial staff?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, Bob didn't really care.
I guess not.
I'm not saying not paying DeAndre Ayton is a good idea, but if you're cap strangled, then that's when you sit down with the agent and go, listen, you know, you might get shorted on this end, but you'll get yours. I mean, the idea that, you know, the hungry player only making $10 million a year, you know, will play harder. He played pretty damn hard last year.
He did, but it wasn't eligible for his deal.
So you got to figure out a way to make him okay with having to wait.
Speaking of maxed out as a rookie on a rookie contract, that would be Ben Simmons.
Yep.
What a disaster for the Philadelphia 76ers. I would like to wish Kate Scott all the luck in the world trying to talk around that and endear herself to a fan base and that team all at the same time. She is now their lead TV play-by-play announcer. That is going to be a little hurdle to dance around for her on a nightly basis as it's happening, however long it happens. Today, for those of you who do not know, Doc Rivers threw Ben Simmons out of practice. Yesterday, Ben Simmons showed up in practice with a cell phone in his pocket, and he had it back in there today. Nothing says I'm here to work hard like a cell phone in the pocket. He wasn't engaged or communicative. The actual quote from Adrian Wojnarowski was a reluctance to physically or mentally engage, which, let's be honest, it's been a consistent theme since he reported to the place where he said he would never appear again. But then when he found out he couldn't get paid, here's the strategy. So if I no-show, you don't pay me. But if I show up and act a fool to the point where you got to throw me out now, well, then that's your choice and you still have to pay me. And that's what's happening here. He intentionally went to practice today to be thrown out of practice. I'm convinced of it.
Then he's a genius.
You cannot have your coach say, we're going to go over defensive drills and say, I'm not doing that.
Except that I think they suspended him without pay. I think you can do that.
For a game.
The question is, how much longer is that suspension going to last? Because they can certainly extend it at any point. And I think given the fact that they sort of, you know, planked to keep him in Philadelphia, you know, I think maybe they're just saying, okay, we're going to do this incrementally, but when you're ready to play, you get paid, and until then, not. And then make it a CBA problem. Because I think that's your only way out, really.
It's just, it's a disaster that I'm sure when Daryl Morey decided, like, I'm out of Houston, I'm going to go to somewhere else to sort of start fresh and new with less drama, just more about basketball. This is not what he signed up for, but it's certainly his. You broke it, you bought it. Not that he broke it, but certainly Ben Simmons has broken his trust in the city of Philadelphia. And basically, as we were saying earlier, and by the way, Peter King is going to join us at 4:15. He'll be here in just a little bit. And I need to tell you to download the Odyssey app. It's powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. There you go, Grandy. Got to take care of all of it for you.
He's such a nag.
Well, you know, it's how he gets paid, so I appreciate it. I understand. He's got to keep me honest, because, Ray, there's no keeping you honest, so he's going to keep me honest.
No, I'm the quintessential unmotivated worker.
Yeah,
I am Ben Simmons.
You're like the Ben Simmons of Bay Area radio.
I am the Ben Simmons of the Bay Area, period.
Well, no, because you know what? You're here. Even if it's a reluctant here,
you're here to get paid.
You're here. That's all
right. If I get suspended without pay, then I'm calling the lawyer.
Look, I get suspended without pay. Yeah, there will be issues. That's how it works.
Yeah. No, I'm.
You want to do something to get suspended without pay today? What do you want to do?
Let me think about that a minute.
Think about it.
We're coming on a break. I'll give that some thought.
So here's the deal. Ben Simmons decided he knew what to do, and then he was going to show up to practice and be a total non-participant. Again, reluctance to physically or mentally engage. So what Ben Simmons is now, and it's going to be hard to trade him, is a sulking little wuss who is afraid to shoot. Does he have other attributes? He sure does. But those are the attributes that define him. When you are a sulking little wuss who is afraid to shoot, it doesn't matter what else you are. Those are the first two things out of the gate. Joel Embiid, done with him.
But at the end of the day, our job is not to babysit somebody. We get paid to put just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for. We don't get paid to come out here and, you know, try to babysit somebody.
So Do you think you two can put it back together at some point? Like, we can finally, you know, get past this moment. Joel, could it happen?
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night, try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent. Despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months. So, yeah, like I said, I don't really care.
Wow. When the most important player on the team starts talking about that like anyone else, I don't care if you're a role player or a starter, you're in trouble. That sound courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. And that was some pretty pointed criticism from Joel Embiid. Doc Rivers today on NBC Sports Philadelphia talked about why he was tossed.
I just thought it was a distraction today. I didn't think he wanted to do what everybody else was doing. And it was early. It wasn't a big deal. I just told him he should leave then. And we went on with practice.
See, like, really? It's not a big deal. It's early. No. Like, dude, crucify him.
He just did.
Did he? Because I thought he tried to explain it away like a fart in the wind. Like, don't even worry about that. Don't let it distract you, everyone.
Yeah, but what he said doesn't have any bearing on what he did. What he did was say, leave the place. You can't do anything more than that. That's the max that Doc Rivers can do because he can't trade him. He doesn't have the power to do that. But he can suspend him and without pay.
He could say,
that's the max of what he can do.
Be gone and stay gone. But, of course, he left that door open for Mr. Sensitive.
Every single moment, I'm going to give Ben a chance to join the team and be part of the team. He's under contract to be part of the team, and so that's not going to change. You know, sometimes it happens quick and guys join back in. Sometimes it doesn't. I've been in both situations, and I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, as a coach, I have to protect the team. Team first, and then we get to the other part. And so today, I just thought it was more important to focus on the team.
Unbelievable situation. Let me tell you where Daryl Morey did get it wrong is when he asked the Warriors for a king's ransom, wanting the entire kingdom of Camelot for him. And there is, what can you ask for now? What could anyone, like a one-for-one max matching salary, I think is the most you could possibly get or expect to get for Ben Simmons. You're not. There will not be a haul of draft picks. There will not be a six-for-one deal presented to Philadelphia.
No, but when he was asking for that, it was a different time.
It was, I mean, but look where they are now.
The timeline, yeah, oh no. But it's not a miscalculation based on what he knew at the time. Now, he'd love to do a one-for-one. The problem is, nobody else looks at Ben Simmons as a supremely talented player. They look at him as a regal pain in the ass. And everybody's got one of those already. And bringing in another one is not only the thing that gets general managers and coaches fired, it turns potentially good teams into bad ones and fast.
Can you find an identity as a football team during a bye week? Let's ask Peter King that when he stops on by to talk about the Niners, the week of football that just was. The King comes on by next here on 95.7 The Game. And we're brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall, they provide a luxurious, all-encompassing experience to address all of your BMW needs. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. BMWFairfield.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back here to 95.7 The Game, our weekly conversation with the one and only Peter King, and it's great to have him stop on by once again here on Damon and Ratto. Peter, another week goes by. How are you, man?
Everything is going great. Yourself?
We're good, but I'll tell you, 49ers anxiety running a little hot out here, certainly earlier than anyone thought it might. Trey Lance has been hurt. Jimmy is running back with the ones in practice, and no one out here is really sure that that is a solution to what is ailing the 49ers. They're coming off a bye week. They got the Colts coming up on Sunday Night Football. Do you think that a team that's struggling with a little bit of an identity crisis can find one during a bye week?
Yeah, I think what usually happens in a bye is it's invariably great for a team. Just because, if you think about it, players, no matter what you think, the players, the first thing they do when they get their schedule, now they get it in May, the first thing they do is they say, okay, when is our bye? How many days off are we going to get? What can I do to recharge the batteries? Where am I going to go? And so I think the bye, players always come back refreshed in great shape. And really kind of looking forward to what lies ahead. Now, what is interesting in this particular case of the bye week, okay, if you look at the team that they're going to be playing, you look at a team that in Indianapolis that played a Monday night game in Baltimore, a tremendously physical and emotional loss on Monday night in Baltimore. Then they come back on a short week. They play Houston, you know, and the Texans are an expansion team. They play Houston, and then, you know, they go and they travel 2,100 miles, and they go and they, fly from Indianapolis to San Jose, and then they play the 49ers. So, in essence, since the 49ers last played a football game, the Colts will have played twice. So theoretically, the 49ers should be, even though they've got the Lance injury to worry about, the 49ers should be in significantly better physical shape with their 53 men than are the Colts. So that's one thing to look at the bright side of. But look, you know, we've talked about this all year. They've got to get better play out of their quarterback. They know that they have to get better play out of their quarterback. And I think if Jimmy Garoppolo was healthy enough, and most likely he will be if he's healthy enough, it's almost like in many ways, and I don't think they're going to trade him almost no matter what, but it's almost like, you know, Jimmy's last stand in a lot of ways. This is his last shot to basically say, this is my job and I'm keeping it until, at the very least, until the end of the year. So this is his shot to do that, and we'll see if he can take advantage of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's a big one against the Colts. And Wentz has been playing well, like you said. They just use the functioning bye week that is the Houston Texans to kind of come together and really find some things. You know, what chances are you giving the Colts on Sunday night? Because I certainly like them a lot more than I did when the schedule came out and we started seeing what these teams looked like.
Well, I mean, I think the Colts are an unpredictable team. They've lost a really good wide receiver, Pittman, who Wentz had really grown to like. He's got a foot injury. He's likely out for the year. That, I can tell you this, from knowing their team, that's a huge loss for that team. And so, look, I think it's probably a good week to be playing the Colts if you're going to play them this year, because you're going to be fresh. They're not going to be. And look, you got to account for a couple of guys on their defense on every play, particularly Darius Leonard. But the way I kind of look at this, this is the kind of game. San Francisco's got to win this game. And look, a must win is a weird thing to say at this time of year, but the 49ers really need to win this game for a very simple reason. You can't fall behind the two very good teams in this division very much anyway. And this is a game against a team that you should have a lot of advantages in, both being fresh and, in my opinion, being better than.
As you look at the 49ers in terms of, you know, what is their identity seems to be a lot closer to being a good defensive team than it is a good offensive team. Is this the kind of game where they can not only establish that, but sort of reaffirm it?
It should be, certainly, because, you know, the Colts are also beat up on the offensive front. And look, I think one of the things that you have to count on, if you're the 49ers, you have to count on seasoned, good, strong players and physical players on that defensive front being able to get in Carson Wentz's face and being able to win at, you know, at the offensive point of attack. That is essential in this game. There are some teams right now in the NFL, the Cowboys, for instance, that you pretty much know every week, unless you have an absolutely great defensive game plan against them and execute it extremely well, they're scoring in the 30s every week. Can't say that about the Niners. So that's why you need this. That's why you need a really, really strong defensive game almost every week now, because you have no idea if Jimmy Garoppolo's putting up 17 or 31. I think that is one part of it. I think the other part of it is there's a lot of guys on this defense with a lot to prove. And look, we'll start with you can start with a lot of different guys on this team, but I do think that it feels like with Robert Saleh gone, okay, they're all still trying to prove themselves, and so it hasn't been nearly as good a defense as it was in 2019 when they were relatively healthy. There's a lot of reasons for that, but this is the kind of week where you say you've really got to start to get well on defense, because the defense, as much as any team in this division, the defense is going to have to play well for you to win.
It feels a little bit like, Peter, Kyle Shanahan is caught in between turning the page to the next version of the Niners and trying to run back 2019. And he's in that gray area. The Niners feel like they're a little bit in purgatory.
But I think what he's counting on, And we'll find out, we'll know 5 years from now with a sense of history. We'll know whether they made the right decisions or not. But look, the 49ers paid Jimmy Garoppolo a huge amount of money, and they spent a lot of draft capital to draft Trey Lance. If you exit this season not having a great feel about who is your quarterback of the future and the fact that he better be a top 10 to 12 quarterback in this league for a while, then it's trouble for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I can't think of many more teams. I mean, I have not done this exercise, but what other teams have devoted more draft and salary cap capital over the last 3 or 4 years at the quarterback position than the 49ers? I'm not sure there is one. And so it's important that they exit this year knowing that one of these guys is going to be the guy entering next year, and you don't have to have this faux competition that you just had. So, I mean, and that's why, in my opinion, and again, it doesn't help to tell a guy that your career is on the line, but in many ways, Jimmy Garoppolo, this game, when I look at the NFL right now, this game right here, right now, is as important for any quarterback in the NFL this year as this game for Jimmy Garoppolo is as important for any quarterback in the league this year. So he has got to play well this week.
Toward that end, after 6 weeks, you've got a pretty good sense of who the playoff teams are in each conference, I think, or at least the ones who are going to be in the argument.
You got a pretty good sense of the teams at the top. But I don't know that you've got a great sense of 5, 6, and 7. But go ahead. I get your point.
Yeah, I mean, the openings for the 49ers are narrowing. Based on that, has Garoppolo shown enough this year to be valuable trade bait? Or is he the kind of quarterback where, let's say hypothetically, where Cleveland's got Baker Mayfield injured, is Garoppolo a guy that teams would avoid just because they're not sure what he is anymore?
Right. Teams are going to avoid Jimmy Garoppolo for a very simple reason. He makes a crap load of money, and the salary cap is in purgatory right now. The salary cap is trouble for everybody. You saw what happened when Stephon Gilmore went from New England to Carolina, and New England only got a 2023 sixth-round pick in return. You know what that was? It was a salary dump because the Carolina Panthers had the money to cover it. There are not many teams in the NFL that can cover a salary cap dump like that right now. So, first of all, I don't think the Niners are going to trade him right now because this is an important year for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. This is, you've got to, in my opinion, the way I sort of look at this season for them is they got to do the right thing at the quarterback position, and they got to make sure that they're ready, you know, to know who their quarterback is. But what has gotten them in trouble, you know, the two of the last 3 years when they have gotten in trouble late in the year, and that is Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten hurt, and they have not had the kind of quarterback depth that they can go and win big games with late in the year. And that's why I think they didn't trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, it would have been one thing if they got an offer of a one. If New England didn't take Mac Jones, was looking for a quarterback in May and said, we'll give you a one for Garoppolo, that would be one thing. But the fact is they haven't gotten that offer. Nor do I think, in the absence of getting an offer of a one, I don't think they should take any. I don't think they should trade Garoppolo. He is the kind of insurance that they need to try to make sure that they get in the playoff tournament in January.
Good to be the king. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. So there really can't be much more said about the results of a bye week. So looking back at everything else that happened this past weekend in football, I want to start with Derek Carr, because I think he needs to get a little And it's so early for MVP lists to come out, and we got so much season in front of us. But I think MVP consideration, if we were to give it out right now, he would need a lot of it because he's been fantastic, and he just picked up the Raiders in a week where they needed desperate picking up and some leadership. And I think that's their most impressive win in a long time. With all due respect to the Broncos and what they aren't, the Raiders had every reason to come into that game on unsteady ground, and they played well.
Yeah, I think it's – look, I don't know Rich Bisaccia, and so there's a lot to be said about this game. But one of the things to be said about this game, and I agree, that they almost played this game – as I was watching it, almost like they were on autopilot. And Derek Carr was their sort of computer guy. You know, and I really, really liked what I saw of him commanding this team. And you're right, there are a lot of guys right now. I mean, Kyler Murray just went to Cleveland, a tough place to play, even though the Browns are beat up. He just went to Cleveland without his coach and without his quarterback coach and without his Pro Bowl center. And he won by 23 points. So there's a lot of people who, when you get in the MVP discussion, they belong in it. But I totally agree. Hats off to Derek Carr for a great job on Sunday. And, you know, the thing I say about Derek Carr, he is just a mature dude. And he understands. He doesn't get all fired up. He doesn't waste his time on junk. And I like Derek Carr, and he deserves to be applauded after what happened on Sunday.
Speaking of that, but not necessarily about Carr, has it been your experience when something, well, for lack of a better word, catastrophic happens to a team, does the real blow land later? Or would you see immediately if a team is able to figure out, you know, how to get around a problem like that? When you look at the Raiders, do you see a team for which there's going to be problems later?
Could be, but look, in my opinion, the Raiders were fortunate the way the schedule fell. The Broncos were fool's gold in the first 3 weeks. And, they have an okay defense with a secondary that we all thought was going to be better than it actually has performed, and their offense is just so suspect, that's all. But Ray, I think right now, when I look at this team, the one thing that that you just can't tell right now is that, you know, how much were Derek Carr and John Gruden tied at the hip. I made this point in my column this week that, look, John Gruden has been a good coach in the NFL. He's not been a superior coach. He was 3 games over 500 in Tampa overall. He was 3 games over 500 as the coach of the Raiders overall. He has not won a playoff game in 17 years. So I really hesitate to say that, you know, this is the disaster of all disasters for a team. It's like what Max Crosby said after the game, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, look, there's always some crap going on with the Raiders. Always. Always has been, always will be. So, you know, we're just players. And I think a lot of times we in the outside world say, oh, my God, there's a hurricane going on inside of the team. There's no way they can win. And I think a lot of players, I forget who did their game this week, the color guy, but he was talking about one of the players on the Raiders who, when they had their production meeting on Saturday at the hotel in Denver, he said, you know, I didn't even hear that Gruden was gone until I got in on Tuesday because – I don't watch sports on TV. I just watch Netflix. And so it hasn't been that big a deal to me. And so I think sometimes we think that what we see as big crises, honestly, is not as big a crisis, perhaps on the inside of a team. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying that I think maybe sometimes we overrate it.
Peter, always good to talk to you. Good luck to your Red Sox tonight. You got to be happy the Yankees are bringing Aaron Boone back.
No, I like Aaron Boone. He's a good guy. But. So anyway, it'll be fun.
Thank you so much, Peter. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Red Sox will be playing a little bit later tonight, looking to take a, 3-1 lead on the Houston Astros? Yeah, they're up 2-1. Zach Greinke against Nick Pivetta right now, 5-2. The Braves are leading the Dodgers. What is that, in the bottom of the sixth inning?
That is indeed.
Bottom of the sixth inning. So it is already...
Actually, that's the top.
Top of the sixth. Either way, it's getting a crunch time for the Dodgers. They do not want to go down 3-0 to the Braves. It is a very difficult place to come back from. So we got our eye on it. And we've certainly got our minds on the fact that the NBA tips off tonight. And by the way, season opener tipping off at 7 o'clock. Tune in to Warriors Live at 5:30 right here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate hub for all things sports, live game shows, news, and highlights, all of it in one place. Want to correct something that when we were talking about injuries to the Colts wide receivers, I believe Peter said that
Michael Pittman
was out with an injury. It's actually Paris Campbell whose foot is causing him to miss it. So we don't want anyone adjusting their fantasy lineup getting all
and it looks like he might be out for the year.
He might be out for the year. You're right. We got an awful lot of basketball to get into tonight. But I do want to keep it on the NFL, but I'm looking at the clock here and I don't have enough time to, I think, get into this right now. But who do you think is going to wear out his welcome first? Kyle Shanahan, the coach, or Kyle Shanahan, the general manager? Who's done a worse job?
Oh, the general manager. I still think Kyle Shanahan has been a better than average coach. I think his conundrums are that he doesn't have the team he thought he had at the beginning of the year in a lot of places. I think he's frustrated that Trey Lance hasn't made his choice easier, because I think there have been openings to make him the starter. And I think they look at him as go, you know what? He's not ready. He's not close to ready. Because I think, you know, that Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, at some point it stops being a matter of loyalty. It starts being a matter of pragmatism. And that's why when you said earlier that, you know, the Colts game sort of matters, he doesn't have to be spectacular, but he's got to win, and he's got to win comfortably. And the fact that Trey Lance, you know, has not been trustworthy, at least in Shanahan's mind so far, in terms of grasping the offense to the point where he's willing to give it to him, except in dire circumstances, suggests to me that he's a pretty frustrated coach right now, because there are things that he'd like to do that I don't think, you know, he's able to. And that means running the ball with an impact guy, means having enough targets to throw to. It means, you know, essentially having a team that's going to have to steal games defensively. And because Kyle Shanahan is an offensive mind, I think he's more frustrated than he thought he should be. But the general manager thing is problematic.
And it's been a problem.
I think the question is, it almost answers itself.
Well, there's another example of this team basically with a decision being made about a player. The front office is telling on itself, or Kyle Shanahan's telling on himself a little bit as a coach. And that's Brandon Ayuk. And I've got a number on Brandon Ayuk that I think is going to make everybody's eyebrow go up just a little bit. We know what a frustrating season it's been, but why this extreme level of doghouse? And I think that we can come on back and give you a perfect example that there is an extreme level of doghouse that is going on to this guy that goes beyond downfield targets, involvement in the deep passing game, or anything like that. So stick around. We got much more coming up. I want to run this past you, though, one more time to let you know that Kyle Shanahan, the coach, is being carried by his defensive coordinators more than his own coaching ability right now. 50 coaches have been with one team for at least part of five seasons since 2000. Kyle Shanahan's 449 winning percentage is ranked 46th. The only ones that have been worse were all unmitigated failures. Jay Gruden, Jeff Fisher, Jim Schwartz, and Doug Marrone. That's bad company to be keeping for any NFL head coach. I don't give a rip what the circumstances are that brought you there. You're with a group of bona fide, easy-to-identify losers. And that's the neighborhood that Kyle Shanahan's moving his reputation into. There is no doubt about it. When we come on back, the front office telling on itself or a coach telling on himself is where we will begin. And we'll remind you that coming up, we got Warriors Live at 5:30 tonight. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking. No compromises.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, we're going to talk a little bit more football here for just a bit, and certainly tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 for the Football Hour with Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal, presented by Livermore Casino, located on 1st Street in Livermore, offering Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, baccarat, and Texas Hold'em, the Tri-Valley's place to play in downtown Livermore. Of course, you're encouraged to play responsibly. Ray, Brandon Ayuk. What the hell is going on with Brandon Ayuk? Akash Anavarantian. Boy, I hope I got his name right. It's a great name. Who covers the 49ers. He had something today that was a little bit of a, like an eye-opener when we talked about how frozen out Brandon Ayuk really finds himself from this team's game plans. The biggest problem, writes Akash, isn't the lack of separation that he's getting downfield. It's the fact that he doesn't have a single target this season, Brandon Ayuk, at or behind the line of scrimmage. And when you think about how much of this year's game plan has come at or behind the line of scrimmage, that's something else. And then when you compound it with the fact that he was really good in terms of being a yak player, yards after catch last year in his rookie year, for Kyle to not manufacture touches to that guy is the ultimate sign that they have given up on him. I mean, it's we are drifting with some public comments that we've heard from John Lynch this week into Dante Pettis territory, where we're going to ask you to return punts and maybe very little else will be asked of you. And then maybe they'll even stop doing that.
The Lynch comments are compelling because that's basically what he and Kyle Shanahan have concluded about Brandon Ayuk. And if you read between the lines, you have a pretty good sense that they think he's not as hungry as he ought to be, that he's not, you know, that he's not as engaged as he ought to be.
Like Mohamed Sanu's hungrier? Is that what you're
telling me? I don't know. I'm just saying that they're looking at Brandon Ayuk as somebody who has profoundly disappointed them, because it's not just targets. It's just it's plays from scrimmage. It's just they are not getting what they got from him a year ago, and it's not injuries that are doing it. It's not that Jimmy Garoppolo's freezing him out. I mean, the fact that he's not running any routes that Garoppolo favors suggests, at least to me, and I'm no expert, that they're really down on him and that he's got to change any number of things about what he does for them to have faith in him again. I don't think Kyle Shanahan forgot that he could do things. And if John Lynch is willing to say things out loud about him that suggests that he's not, you know, he's not the wide receiver that they saw a year ago, I think it's not about talent, and I think it's about they don't like what he's bringing this year. And I can't be any more specific than that because I'm at zero practices. But just based on the way they're using him and not using him, and now the way they're talking about him, it may not be Dante Pettis territory yet, but he can see it from where he's standing.
Look, it's either to not manufacture a single touch for this guy. It's either completely inexcusable or it's completely intentional. And either way, it's an admission that part of you doesn't know what you're doing. The 49ers coaching staff, the front office, might not be the geniuses that we have certainly, you know, built them to be, that we have seen other respected NFL entities build them to be. Like, you either got a player problem that you created by selecting him because you thought he was going to be the perfect player in your offense, so that's why you traded up for him. So you either created this problem by not knowing which aisle to shop in the first place, or you've created this problem by coaching him out of being a good player. Because when he was a rookie and it was all instincts and guile and whatever the hell a rookie needs to bring out on the field with him before he knows everything about an offense, he was good. He wasn't just a little good. He was in the Niners record book good for a rookie. Very good. And so basically, Kyle is either saying we didn't pick the right player to begin with, or we picked a player who was really good until we got our hands on him. You know, the conclusion is that he was a very good player until we started to asking, until we demanded more of him. Well, then demand less, because when you asked him to do less, he was fantastic.
I think at some point, though, it can't just be that the coach has turned on a guy. Maybe Ayuk's practice habits are poor. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't believe that Kyle Shanahan has suddenly just turned on him for no reason. There's got to be somewhere where this leads. And the fact that they're not using him and that John Lynch is dropping hints like anvils from the sky suggests that they're profoundly dissatisfied with him. And I think in football, it's not incumbent upon the coach to figure out how to fix you. Maybe sometimes, unless you're an elite player, it's incumbent upon you to figure out what they want and provide it for them. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was a nice little piece on a team that went 6-10. And I don't think they stopped coaching him. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. There's no benefit to Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch by just saying, okay, we've had enough of him. They're seeing things in him they don't like and they haven't been fixed yet. And I wouldn't call this necessarily a coaching failure. It might be a playing failure.
It might be, but look, all I know is that there's no room to be picky anymore. If you're involved with the 49ers, There's just no room to be picky. Like, well, he had a bad practice on Wednesday, so we're not going to get him involved on a Sunday. Sunday's all that matters. You can take your practice reps and stick them where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, but this is week after. This is 6 weeks of this, plus a training camp. I mean, this isn't suddenly they fell off him. This has been ongoing through the year. So to ask the question is to demand several answers. Is it coaching? I tend to doubt it. Is it the player? I'm kind of leaning that way. I mean, it just there's no value in the 49ers simply going, we've had enough. I mean, it's another example
of Kyle Shanahan, the general manager, being a failure.
Maybe. Or maybe Brandon Ayuk deciding he'd already made it and stopped working as hard as he did the first year. I don't know. I mean, again, without practice access, you know, you're forced to judge based on usage and comments. And the John Lynch comments were pretty damning. And they were sort of along the lines of where they were with Dante Pettis before the end. I mean, that's the thing. That's the red hair. That's the red light for me. It's if you're mad enough at a guy to basically call him out in public, which is something they never do, then that's where I think I would look.
Here's the thing. Then trade him. Then trade him. If you can't use him, don't devalue him to the point where no one's going to want him. I mean,
maybe that comes next. I mean, I'm just trying to follow some sort of logical train here. And if he was as valuable as he was a year ago, he wouldn't be used this way. And if he was as engaged as he was a year ago, John Lynch wouldn't be talking about him the way he did. I think this is, you know, unless somebody can show me a reason why it works for the 49ers not to use this guy, I'm thinking it might be the guy.
Here's the thing. You got yourself a losing streak without using him. So why don't you try to use him? I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's the Niners do not get to play this. If you're not doing it the Patriots way, you can't do it. There is no Niners way of doing anything. Or whatever that is, it has resulted in one winning season on the Kyle Shanahan timeline.
Well, unless you're ready to fire Kyle Shanahan right now, and do this on the altar of Brandon Ayuk's lack of usage, then you've got to go somewhere else for this particular answer. I mean, if you're down on Kyle Shanahan as a fan, that's fine. But I'm not sure that Brandon Ayuk is necessarily the hill you want to die on.
Well, not using him in a passing game that basically has one functioning target named Deebo Samuel is a funny hill to die on, too.
Maybe, but it seems to me that this has been the same thing for 10 weeks now. Something's not giving here. And either Kyle Shanahan thinks his passing game is good, which I don't think he does, or he thinks that Brandon Ayuk isn't providing the thing he's looking for that would make it better.
What do you think Trent Sherfield did to go from pedestal to doghouse, because that guy don't play no more?
Maybe he was just a myth. I mean, at some point, you either have to decide that Kyle Shanahan is an awful offensive coach and a complete failure as an analyst of talent, or you have to look at Brandon Ayuk and go, he thinks he made it when he hasn't yet, and that Trent Sherfield was just an illusion for the moment, a training camp fixation that lasted 1 week in the regular season, and then they just said, we've seen enough.
I'll tell you what I think is an illusion. Any and all hope in Mohamed Sanu being the answer. Like, I'd rather lose with Brandon Ayuk involved than what? Expect to win a lot with Mohamed Sanu out there? I just don't. All coaches are arrogant, period. That's part of it. But I think Kyle is taking it to a level that you need a little bit more gravitas on your winning percentage if you're going to be this kind of guy.
Well, okay. That's all well and good. But it still doesn't answer why they've gone out of their way to make it clear how unhappy they are with Brandon Ayuk.
It's so weird.
It may not be weird if you think that Brandon Ayuk is giving them not nearly enough of what they expected of him. I mean, it's just you. At some point, you have to look at the guy and go, "Am I really going to sit there and give this guy a bunch of run if he hasn't shown me that he deserves it?"
Well,
because last year is over.
Yeah, what's deserve got to do with it? You need to win, dude.
Do you think Brandon Ayuk's going to help you win necessarily?
Yes. Yeah, I 100% think he would help this team win if you involved him.
Okay, I guess we're going to find out when they use him.
By the way, welcome, boys and girls, one and all, not just to NBA opening night, but to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 in San Francisco. It's an Odyssey station.
888-957-9570. Coming up at 5:30, Warriors Live. We're going to get into it, and we're going to keep you there for about an hour. Anthony Slater is going to join us at 6 o'clock. We're going to get you to Tim Roy around 6:30 tonight, and he's going to talk you up to tip-off from Staples Center. We got Warriors and Lakers getting down tonight. It's going to be a hell of a basketball season. We're going to get into the goals collectively, individually, but like I said, we're talking a little football right here, right now. And this is put-up-or-shut-up week for the Niners. I mean, if they don't beat the Colts, what Kyle Shanahan thinks is the best thing for this team officially gets demerited. Like, what do you know about it at that point? I mean, you cannot lose to the Colts. You've gone a full calendar year without a win at Levi's Stadium. Tell me how good you are. Tell me how much you know. Tell me how brilliant you might be. And this player's not working, and that player's not working, and this guy doesn't fit perfectly, so we're going to wait for perfect, the train that never arrives. But we're going to wait. When I got Randy Moss, I'll use him. But until then, don't ask. I mean,
you're not really equating Brandon Ayuk with Randy Moss.
No, I'm saying if you can only win when you got your next Randy Moss, and you're like, when we got the next Randy Moss, we'll play him. You know, you got it. Here's the thing. You cannot complain about the players you have to coach when you pick the players.
I don't think he's – well, that's why the John Lynch thing is so compelling to me, because he could have ducked the question if he thought it was sensitive. He was trying to make a point.
He did.
And the point he seems to have made is Brandon Ayuk's not very good for us. And if that makes John Lynch, the general manager, bad, well – that might very well be. I just don't know that that's a coaching issue. I think there is also the possibility that the player isn't nearly what he was a year ago for any number of reasons. But they basically said he's not performing right now. And that, since he's not playing very much, that's got to mean he's not doing much in practice. And frankly, he's not so special that if he's going to dog it through practice, then I'm all of a sudden going to make, you know, we're going to make this easier for you. You don't have to work at practice, but we're going to throw the ball to you 10 times a game. I don't know I don't think Brandon Ayuk changes the team that much that they're willing to make an exception for him. And again, I'm just speculating because I don't know either.
Right. You know,
I know is he's out of the picture in a way that Dante Pettis was out of the picture. And Pettis just now caught his first pass of the year in the past week. So,
well, he sucks. That's his problem. Okay,
well, then maybe Brandon Ayuk sucks too, and we just don't know it yet.
But he didn't suck during his rookie year. Dante Pettis sucked from the minute you heard his name drafted. Niners draft Dante Pettis, he started sucking right there.
No, he had some moments before the suck.
Moments. Started. Not a rookie year. That was one of the best rookie years any Niner wide receiver has ever had.
Okay. All I know
with backup coaches and no other targets.
All I know is this.
Or backup quarterbacks.
If it mattered, if they were seeing form from last year, they'd be playing him. I don't know what other conclusion to draw. And I don't want to sit there and dog on the guy because I don't know. But you're trying to piece together a reason why a serviceable wide receiver a year ago is now no longer in the rotation at all. And it can't be because of performance on game day, because he doesn't do anything on game day.
again, you can't do anything if you're not asked to do anything.
Well, then why are they not asking him to do anything? Do you think they forgot who he is?
I guess so. Well, in terms of his entire rookie campaign, yes, they have. That is completely so far in their rearview mirror, it means nothing to them.
Well, okay. Well, then this is 10 weeks now. You don't think he's changed at all?
I guess the whole point is tick-tock. It's desperation time. It's go time. Well, like the way that you wanted to do it, Kyle, really doesn't matter anymore. This is the way you have to do it. And you're wedded to a wide receiver that you do not like. You have one functioning wide receiver on your team. You can't go win with that, especially with your tight end out.
Well, then maybe you bring back Sherfield if you're that pissed at Ayuk.
Do it.
Okay.
Then play him.
Well, then I guess we'll find out on Sunday. I mean, I'm not defending Kyle Shanahan for this.
You lie.
I'm just saying I don't understand why a seemingly simple solution isn't being employed unless there's evidence that I don't have that would suggest why he's not playing him. And the only thing I can think, because Kyle Shanahan is like every other coach, he's pragmatic beyond all measure, that Brandon Ayuk is not a very good player for him right now.
Bad situation for all involved. No one's winning, that's for sure. This is Austin in San Francisco. What's up, Austin?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
How you doing? Oh, man. So here's my thing with this Ayuk thing. I think, you know, Deebo got injured last year. At some point, Deebo has to have a breakout year for him to get his contract or whatnot. This is his year. So all the targets that Brandon Ayuk was getting last year were Deebo targets, all the routes he was running and everything. And now that Deebo's back, Deebo has something to show for it after to be the number one receiver. You got to think about it. And then at that, the routes that Deebo is taking, he's taking punishment after the catch. After the catch, Brandon Ayuk is running up the field. Our number one true route receiver is Brandon Ayuk. Our players will constantly go down. Look at Trey Lance at that goal line, taking punishment for no reason. Deebo taking punishment for no reason. Kittle's taking punishment for no reason. We're falling apart game by game. And next week, this week coming up with Indiana, we should cruise past them.
You'd think
if we play the game right.
I don't think you're cruising past the Colts at all. I don't think the Niners have cruise control available to them. I don't think it's on the card this year. I think they're going to have to work, scratch, claw for every single inch they got. And you're going to have to use the tool that you'd rather not be using in your tool belt, because you only got your tool belt. No, by the way, you picked all the tools, Kyle. This is your team, your vision, 100%. So if you don't like what you see, you're the problem. And look, I think Kyle Shanahan is better than his winning percentage, which sounds insane. But I do think he is better than his winning percentage. But if he's going to go out there and try to win in a spread it out, let's throw the ball league with one wide receiver, I know why the Niners are going to have a very, very nice draft pick this upcoming year. Oh, no, wait. They won't. Not this year, not next year. Because they decided to invest in Trey Lance, who at this point in time has got nothing but a bright future in front of him. But if we're going to go back and look at Kyle's draft successes, he's not good in the first round. He's not. And when players that he did pick in the first round, Solomon Thomas, go to another team, the guys who couldn't now can. And that's a problem. That's a problem. Kyle Shanahan has a nice contract extension, and that could also be a problem. Because this guy's running out of the honeymoon is over. I mean, that's readily apparent, is it not? The honeymoon with this guy is over. It's put up or shut up. You put all your eggs into the Garoppolo basket, but then took six eggs out of that basket to put it in the Trey Lance basket. Now you got two baskets and neither are full of eggs. I mean, he is trying to be two coaches at once, serve two seasons at once, have two quarterbacks at once, have two priorities at once, and they got football purgatory to show for it. Not a single home win in a calendar year. That's horrific. That's horrific. That's worst coaches in football category. Really is.
Well, are you prepared to just fire him at the end of the year? Because that's the next question.
Where does this year end? Where does this year end?
Well, where do you think it ends? I mean, let's walk through this. Where do you think this year ends? What's their record at the end of this year?
10-7 feels wildly generous, does it not?
Okay, if it's not 10-7, what is it?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what it's going to be.
Okay, but what I'm leading to something, which is if it's 8-9, do you fire him?
If it's 8-9, I don't fire him. But if Trey Lance next year isn't the single hottest topic of the next quarterback coming to this league every Sunday near you, that's it. That's it.
That's it as a general manager? That's it?
That's period. It. You're gone. You're out. You don't know how to be a general manager, and you're not winning enough as a coach, so that means you lose your job.
Okay.
In this league.
Then those are the parameters.
I think they should be.
And I'm not arguing with you. That may very well be. If Trey Lance turns out to be an ordinary quarterback...
That's it. So if Trey Lance turns out to be an ordinary quarterback, he's gone. Under any, and I don't like, if an ordinary quarterback is all he is, then Kyle's already a dead man walking.
I'm not sure that's true just because of the dynamics in that building, but it becomes topic A rather than the quarterback. Next year, maybe the topic A becomes him.
This is Jonathan in San Francisco. Jonathan, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, man. This is my biggest worry when this regime started. And I said that, you know, they don't have a single guy in their 50s. You start from the owner, the coaches, and everybody else. Even, you know, the assistant coaches, they're all young people. So, you know what happens? Usually, whatever career you have, the first go around, is, you'll have a lot of bumps and bruises, but that's just human nature. You know, you learn from experience. So I think the bad luck for the 49ers that a lot of these guys that they hired the first time. So, hey, Pettis, Ayuk, I don't think...
Jonathan, your phone cut off there. You're right in the middle of your sentence. Sorry. I don't even really know where your call was going. So I don't know what was being really said there.
I was going into the ether.
Yes. But... look, all I can tell you is tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
There are more questions than answers in a year that there should have been more answers than questions.
Yeah. And the fact that the question is Kyle the right guy for either of the job he occupies is a serious problem for Kyle Shanahan.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, again, a lot of that depends on whether Jed York wants to go on another search for another coach and then explain to his parents why they're paying a guy not to work for 4 years. Because that's part of the dynamic, too.
Again, when I just saw this Josh Dubose stat, it just stopped my heart. 50 coaches have been with one team for at least parts of 5 seasons since 2000. Kyle Shanahan's 449 winning percentage has him ranked 46th out of those 50 coaches. All of his other young wunderkind contemporaries are doing laps around him. All of them. McVay, LaFleur, Kingsbury. It's not off his coaching tree or anything like that or from his coaching family, but Brandon Staley down in San Diego. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
The northern suburbs of San Diego.
Exactly. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is living in the same neighborhood of coaching failures this deep into his coaching career as Jay Gruden, Jeff Fisher, Jim Schwartz, and Doug Marrone. That's like the who's who of who you don't want to be as an NFL head coach. So he draws up great plays. I'm sure Jay Gruden did too. You know?
No, you're not.
No, Jay Gruden was. Here's the thing. Some guys are offensive coordinators, and that's that. Mike Martz. This could be modern Mike Martz. Brilliant offensive coordinator until the league totally played catch up on his system. And as a head coach,
And that might be true too, because we don't really talk about that much. The fact is, defensive coordinators have an easier time adjusting to whatever new offense is out there than offensive coordinators do of readjusting to what the defensive coordinators do. Because if you give a competent defensive coordinator 6 months to study an offense, they'll figure out ways to stop it. All they need is the general manager to come up with the players that will help him do it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you can throw a great defense out there, just give me a really good quarterback and we'll figure it out.
Okay. And I've said this before. There aren't that many really good quarterbacks out there. I mean, people say this is the golden age of quarterbacks. Nah, there are a lot of guys who are going to be white knuckle jobs. And rookies almost never hit the ground running. I mean, Zach Wilson surely hasn't. Justin Fields certainly hasn't. Even Mac Jones still throws a lot of picks because he's that guy who goes, I'm just going to sling it. And at some point, Bill Belichick's going to pull his head off and go, stop slinging it so damn much.
No, I don't know. With a 72% completion percentage, I think they're pretty good with that.
Yeah,
if you're not thrilled with Mac Jones' rookie year, what did you want?
Well, that's
Patrick Mahomes, you should have drafted him.
They probably wanted a guy who threw fewer interceptions. They're 2-4. So it's not like he's magic. Well, all I'm saying is rookie quarterbacks take a while to get up to speed. So we can't evaluate any of the ones in the current class.
So
what are you left with? You're left with Mahomes, Herbert. I'm trying to go through the teams in my head.
Were you talking about Jackson, the great quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks that you would trade three draft picks to have.
All three quarterbacks in Kyle Shanahan's own division. Let's start there. All three of the quarterbacks that he competes directly against in his own division are among the best quarterbacks in all of football.
Okay, but after that, we're talking about
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
Okay, well, no,
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's six.
So if you got six really good quarterbacks who could all win the Super Bowl almost by themselves at all times, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but that means 26 can't.
Deshaun Watson, does he still get the love? Because that guy, when he's playing,
is
unstoppable.
Yeah, but who knows what he's going to be now? It's clear that they're not going to play him in Houston, and it seems pretty clear that they're not going to trade him. So I don't know what he is anymore.
Derek Carr?
Pretty good. I wouldn't call him elite yet.
He's a top 12 quarterback in this league now. He's an MVP candidate.
But is top 12 where the cutoff is? I don't think so. Derek Carr's got to do more for me to get in the group that you just referenced. But we're getting lost here. I mean, it's
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I mean, I'm just going through the Rolodex.
Okay.
That's a lot of really good quarterbacks.
That's still one quarter of the league.
Right. Well, Ray, it's never going to get to 50%. We do know that.
Well, no, I didn't say 50%. What I'm trying to say is you got a 3-1 shot against getting a quarterback that you're going to love for a decade. And Kyle Shanahan has failed to do that. And is that an indictment on him? Yeah, quite possibly. But you cannot make great quarterbacks. They have to bring a lot with them. And the truth is, his track record with quarterbacks, if you believe that Jimmy Garoppolo has run his race, has not been great.
Not been close to great. Dak Prescott's a really good quarterback. Thank you, text line. Good jog. Lamar Jackson. Sir, how about this? Lamar Jackson. You want to talk about youth getting served? Most quarterback wins before turning 25 years old. Lamar Jackson, 35 wins. That tops out Dan Marino, Drew Bledsoe, and Big Ben Roethlisberger. That's unbelievable how good he is.
Yeah. Oh, no. All I'm saying is it's still harder to find that kind of quarterback than it is
So you know Garoppolo's not ever going to be in that list. The guy that you just took third overall might be. Probably not, but he might be. Garoppolo will never be. So the right time to turn the page is now.
Well, he can't turn the page if he's hurt.
You're right about that. What do you know? Another Niner hurt. You drafted a quarterback because your other quarterback got hurt too often, and your new quarterback is so banged up in his first NFL game, he's hurt.
And maybe some of that was because he didn't know how to slide. I mean, look.
And it was the worst game plan Kyle Shanahan could have. It's like he handed him the how to fail quickly game plan.
This can't all be about Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, no, he's the head coach and general manager. It's literally all about Kyle Shanahan. And Trey Lance's success is the only thing that Shanahan is truly going to be measured on. That's it. That's the bottom line. If Trey Lance is anything other than awesome, he's out.
And I think Jed York is going to grade him more generously. In which case, you're going to have to live with this for a while.
Then he's worried about his mommy's purse.
Well,
and by the way, and you shouldn't be worried about money in terms of cutting bait.
You shouldn't
with
be,
any coach because you're billionaires.
But you didn't get to be a billionaire by not worrying about money.
Oh no, he literally was born into a situation and got to be a billionaire without worrying about anything.
Yeah, but the fact is, his coaching hires so far up until Shanahan,
including maybe.
Here's the thing, but we're not there yet.
The best coach he ever had was a guy I couldn't get along with, and therefore had to go.
Well, yeah, that's. That's on his resume, too. Absolutely.
Should have stuck with Tom Sula.
Yeah. Tom Sula and Sudfeld, they had the answers right there in front of them.
It was right there. You're right. This is Max in Los Gatos. What's going on, Max?
What's going on, fellas? Just want to add in, you guys kind of went off a little bit on a tangent from where I was thinking from, but just the thing that I think, you know, fans and, you know, myself as well are getting a little sick of is when we do hear from Shanahan, it's this almost like sarcastic, smug kind of, you know, vibe. And to me, the only people that deserve to kind of present that is, you know, people like Popovich and people like this who have a winning track record, right? Like you always say, you know, your daddy won those games, right? So I think that's pissing a lot of people off. And yeah, he needs to figure it out.
I mean, here's the thing, Max. You can sound however arrogant you want as long as you're winning. We wouldn't care what Kyle Shanahan said or how he sounded or what we inferred from the things he might have sounded or the tone in his voice. Tone of your voice doesn't matter when you win. This is Will in Berkeley. Hello, Will.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was calling the Jacksonville or Detroit station. Sounds like we are very spoiled.
Wait a minute. So that's it, Will? That's what you want, the 49ers to measure themselves against? An expansion team that's never won anything, and the biggest group of losers ever assembled on a football field, the Detroit Lions. That's your measuring stick? That's your bar to clear?
No, I'm saying, listen, we are spoiled.
Will, you're totally broken up. But the whole point of, like, we are spoiled? How have you been spoiled? What have the Niners done to spoil you recently? Yeah, you got to go to the Super Bowl in 2019. The further you get away from it, that looks more like a one-off than it did a pattern that you can get spoiled by falling into. And that's the scary spot. Because this is Trey Lance better be incredible time. It really is. It really is. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he is anything other than totally awesome and wins against the Indianapolis Colts, if they lose to the Colts and Jimmy Garoppolo ever takes another snap as this team's quarterback, may God have mercy on Kyle Shanahan's soul, because we're all coming for him. I think so. I mean, it just, this is over. The patience for Kyle's plan. I don't think I trust Kyle's plan right now nearly as much as we all used to. We'll get back into all of this tomorrow. For the next hour, we're going to talk about a plan to trust Steph Curry. There's a plan you can kind of put some money into. So we're going to talk a little Warriors. Anthony Slater joins us at 6 o'clock. Warriors Live as we get ready for the tip-off of the NBA season coming up in just a moment. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by California's COVID Rent Relief Program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.